Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right.
So you remember last week when we had so much to talk about?
Yeah.
And this week we have absolutely nothing.
So they kind of did everything all in one go there,
yeah,
didn't they?
They front-loaded the month of January.
Yeah.
Or no, sorry, the month of February.
Yes. Because
that's where we are now. Yeah. There's really not a whole lot going on. Like, SmackDown's trying to form up some things, even though their pay-per-view is not coming up quite yet.
Right.
I mean, I'm appreciating, like, it's weird that their Royal Rumble winner wasn't on the show, mm-hmm. but at the same time, that's, his storyline isn't really, at the forefront just yet.
Well, it's all set up. It's ready to go.
Sure. Right. They set up the triple threat for Fastlane, and apparently next week they're doing Dolph versus Baron Corbin, and the winner gets added to the Fatal 4-Way because land of opportunity. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
We have that. Shane, directly acknowledged the fact that Daniel Bryan wants to wrestle more than anything. And I'm like, and it's one of those things where it's like, if he doesn't wrestle, then this is a bunch of just teasing for nothing.
What are you putting these building blocks towards?
Yeah. Like, why are you getting people excited for absolutely nothing?
Yeah.
So, it's frustrating, but it is what it is. Raw's also putting some stuff together. They're doing like the idea of doing a last chance Fatal 4-Way thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I like, or not so much I like, but it's things that, I have complained about mm-hmm. in past podcasts, and now they're doing it. It's like, well, I guess I technically like it because I said you should do it. So I'm like, this one's on me.
Yeah.
But it's this double-edged sword that is the road to WrestleMania, and how big it is and how long it is that, I've known mm-hmm. what that match is going to be for a year.
Right.
And now we're getting to the steps.
Yeah.
To go towards it. So there's stuff like, Roman Reigns has to lose to Miz. Oh, he has to lose to Miz twice.
Yeah, so he doesn't have any rematch, so he's mm-hmm. out of the Intercontinental Championship picture.
And so,
yeah.
And I don't remember, it was probably a John Cena thing talking about, everybody has their own road to WrestleMania. You must, carve your own road or your own path. And Roman Reigns is like, here's mine. Step one, win this match. Step two, win the Elimination Chamber. Step three, go through Brock Lesnar. And you're like,
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for just, detailing the Roman Reigns part of the next several weeks of programming.
But in a real Roman Reigns paint by the numbers kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's not enough to, it's nothing to complain about. And maybe, I don't know, maybe this podcast is better whenever we have, things to complain about.
Well, it's a lot of stuff where I'm like, I understand
right
what I'm supposed to be complaining about here.
Right.
But it's stuff like, I don't want them to give it to Roman just because. I'm really glad that Nakamura won the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And so I'm thrilled he's going up against AJ. That's everything I've asked for in a title match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. But you kind of feel like the next thing they're going to be like, all right, so, you have Stephanie in the ring, and so she's going to be like, all right, the person facing Brock Lesnar is spin around a circle and point.
Right. I enjoy the fact that they are putting some purpose into Elimination Chamber. You know, mm-hmm. The winner of this goes on to WrestleMania to face Brock.
Right.
Yeah. I like that, it is not roadblock, where, 2 years ago, I think, where you had this weird house show, but they still had to build towards it because it was going to be on the network, and it literally just stopped all momentum of everything.
Well, it was, because that's the one where it was mm-hmm. from Royal Rumble onward, it was Roman Reigns and Triple H. Roman Reigns and Triple H.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks before, it was Maybe Reigns. Dean Ambrose and Triple H.
Roman Reigns broke his nose.
Just had a simple minor surgery. Yeah. But they
need him off TV so Dean Ambrose can do this weird roadblock thing, you know?
Yeah.
But there are, like, even without roadblock, there have been, like, that February pay-per-view, usually in the Elimination Chamber, where there are some storylines, there's some matches that just feels like just taking up some space and has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, and honestly, what I expected was, you know, Elimination Chamber, the winner will face Brock, and the, you know, entrance will be, and then she just lists them, you know. Like they do for the Money in the Bank, and you're like, every year, you're like, come on, you have so much time.
They don't even have anything, they rarely ever have qualifying matches or anything like that, you just throw people in there.
So I love that they're, technically, I love that they're having these qualifying matches.
Sure.
But it's so much like, okay, this is all just, you know, it's just deciding what order you stand in line to get fed to Roman Reigns.
Sure, yeah.
And you're like, okay.
But I do like the added effort, especially like, you know, even stuff seemingly minor as like who gets to enter in last. They have a match to determine that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it may seem like kind of a small thing, especially if they're going to get fed to Roman, but it feels like such a small thing, but it does add a little bit something to this random match on Raw, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm all for that.
That's 100% why I'm technically for it, because this is what I complain about.
Yeah.
It's just that because in practice, I can see it being Roman all the way. Sure. And there's some stuff where you're like, okay, how are they going to work around Brock Lesnar losing this time?
Yeah.
Because Brock Lesnar, not Brock Lesnar, Strowman.
Braun Strowman.
Because Braun Strowman is in this weird spot where...
Yeah, where they want to build him, but they don't want... They still want Roman to be the guy, so they have to almost kind of work themselves into a corner with his booking, where they're like, build him as unbelievably strong as they can until he, you know, inevitably is around Roman. So you have to find a way to, you know, find some sort of way to ruin it for him.
It's this weird, like...
And the rumor is going that he's going to face Miz, so I'm assuming Miz is going to, you know, ruin something for him here.
I just... The phrase glass ceiling isn't the correct phrase to use, but, like, it is this kind of thing with Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar, where he keeps tripping at the Brock Lesnar line because they're saving that for Roman Reigns.
Right.
He's gone up against him twice for the title, and even now has every conceivable in kayfabe expectation that he will be the one to win this. He absolutely should. But but you can like take a step back and be like, oh no, he won't. It's Roman. I see the steps, you know?
Absolutely. I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm waiting, you know, you've got that moment where you hear about something exciting that WWE might possibly have coming down the line. And it's one of those things where the jaded wrestling fan inside you is kind of like, I'm waiting for WWE to find a way to screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's be honest, like, this WrestleMania card is going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to, you know, Rome is going to be the main event, and he's going to end up beating Brock, and that's just going to be, like, the medicine we're going to have to take, you know, to get the rest of the stuff that we're getting before that. And I'm okay, honestly, like... I like their match in WrestleMania 31, even without Seth's cash-in. So I'm not dreading it. And I don't think they've had a one-on-one match since.
No, they haven't.
So, I don't know. Like, I am waiting for them to just, you know, again, just trip at Fastlane and hand the WWE Championship to Baron Corbin or something, you know? And then Baron Corbin versus Nakamura. And then, like, okay, yeah, we've seen that match before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe it's just, you know, just jaded pessimism.
I mean, the whole Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Because it was the initial thing that kicked off this annual WWE versus their own fans tradition.
Right.
And it's coming up again that is literally that exact match. And you just, it feels so much more beat down this time.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting to look at WrestleMania over the past 4 years.
Yeah.
This is, you know.
New Orleans is kind of a good bookends for
yeah.
this. Yeah.
Well, and you feel like the feeling going into WrestleMania 31 was this feeling of, you know, they will not take WrestleMania from us. Like,
right.
This is the moment. This is, you know, like, you know, we sit through the pocket of suck and
yeah.
we sit through.
Yeah.
This part is like.
But WrestleMania is hard.
But like, we know when it's good and when it's bad. And
yeah.
like, shame on you for not giving us the WrestleMania we deserve as your fans. And so, like, it
That's
had
what,
this, like,
and it was
Braveheart,
strong enough.
Freedom, Custer's Last Stand kind of thing. It's like, we will bring this WrestleMania down.
Right.
And now, 4 years later, this exact same thing. It's with this whole family is like.
And everyone's kind of mad about it.
At least
everyone.
I mean, that's the thing is, like, you see it all of them. It's like, well, this isn't for us anymore. So at least we have SummerSlam.
You're right. So they've accepted their fate, essentially.
Yeah.
And again, these are the same fans that, you know, like, oh, they're just going to do whatever. I don't like it. I hate Roman, blah, 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 blah. I hate all this stuff now. And, yeah, they're still people that are, like, bowing to Vince anytime he comes out. But, you know, whatever. but I take it the way I feel about the potential main event at WrestleMania with Brock and Roman. Again, I feel like they kind of proven themselves at WrestleMania 31. And it's, again, not. I wouldn't want. I myself wouldn't book that again
mm-hmm.
as your main event, at least.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're dead set on it and I know how it's going to end, I'm. Whatever. The match was fine. The match is going to be fine. And I'm more looking forward to the rest of the card.
Yeah,
that rest of the card is going to, you know, I'll probably still be riding that high of Nakamura mm-hmm. and AJ
yeah.
by the time we even get to the main event, so it's not even going to affect me.
Well, and
so like they would have to really, really stink up the joint.
I know that there is some, that there has to be some amount of like sweet justice, you know, take your medicine kind of thing. It's like mm-hmm. no, you will get this Roman Reigns beating Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. For the championship, and this will, you know, this will close out WrestleMania. This will solidify Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
It might have taken us, you know, four years to do it, but this is how WrestleMania will end, and you will take it. But honestly, other things like you have proved over the 4 years is like, I don't care about the last match of WrestleMania.
No,
like you put it on at 11 o'clock when
yeah.
I'm ready to go to bed. When I've been watching wrestling
mm-hmm.
for 7 hours at this point.
Yep.
When
we're all full of junk food.
Yeah. Everybody's full. The people who have stuck it out.
We've played like a couple rounds of laser tag for the first time since last year. So we're all a little bit out of shape for laser tag.
Well, and like, it's you
no,
and
just
me.
Okay, cool.
It's you and me. It's like Heather's there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that have to be like, I'm sorry, guys. We just got to get through this last match.
Yeah.
Like, not in a, like, you should go home kind of way. Like, I'm glad you're here and sitting and
I'm
watching
glad,
this with me.
Yeah.
But I, like, the last match of WrestleMania, the post 11 o'clock after we've been watching wrestling for 7 hours.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to defend being a wrestling fan during that match more than anything else on the card.
Yeah.
In the year. Like, there's all kinds of stuff throughout the year. Even now, I still get it probably half a dozen times a year. It's like there's some sort of. You watch wrestling? I'm like, yeah. And here's why it's great. Reasons X, Y, and Z. Like,
mm-hmm.
let me pull out my trifold board and my PowerPoint yeah. to explain to you the merits of being a wrestling fan. And the only time where I feel like, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. It's just, I feel embarrassed, but this is who I am.
Right.
Is that last match at WrestleMania.
And then
it's been
about
so long.
10 minutes into that Roman Reigns match, you gave up and you're just like, yeah, this is awful. And everyone just sits back and just, you know, tries not to fall asleep.
Well, part of it is like, that's when Undertaker retired. You made me feel that way
right.
about
yeah,
an
yeah.
Undertaker retirement.
Yeah,
match.
I wasn't even really thinking about it. I was thinking more of like the Dallas match with him and Triple H that really was plotting and just
no, I mean,
forever.
It is. That's the prime example, but
yeah.
having Roman Reigns close out the show has not put the main event of WrestleMania in the highlight reel
no.
of any year.
Mm-mm.
Because what, like, what's the most memorable thing, in a positive way, about the main event from last year? Honestly, for me, it's, you know, the way they shot Undertaker, like, leaving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, you know, and it has nothing to do with Roman at all. The most memorable thing about that actual match is, I think there was, like, an almost botched tombstone or something, or a weird transition, and I remember Super Spear.
Yeah, Super Spear.
Which might have been a botch itself.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing from the actual match stands out to me as special. And honestly, like, and, but that also kind of comes towards, you know, the you know, long-running thing we've had about Undertaker is that, you know, he kind of held on for a little bit too long. And if he had just retired when he was WrestleMania 29, mm-hmm. around that time when he was still having, he was still doing like one match a year, kind of, but he was still really good in the ring.
WrestleMania, you know? 28 or 29 was his last great match. Yeah.
30, I can't really blame him because he did kind of get concussed like in 30 seconds of the match.
Yeah.
But ever since then, it's just, I don't know.
30 is, I think I've said on the podcast before, 30 is the only match that is better watching in retrospective than it was watching it live, because...
Well, also because it was buffering. When we watched it live, we missed the actual pinfall.
Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff in there where you're like, where despite him being concussed, he goes through a lot of Undertaker's greatest hits.
Yes.
There. He does, you know, he does the walk the ropes.
Right. It's remarkable what that man is capable of doing on autopilot, mm-hmm. you know?
And watching it, knowing this is the last time, and it wasn't his final WrestleMania match, mm-hmm. but there is something to be said for his last moments in the ring with the streak intact.
Yeah.
And watching it, knowing that, having that foreshadowing cloud over it, there is... a value to rewatching that match in a way there's not a value while watching
Absolutely.
Any other match.
Because I actually ended up rewatching it last weekend, actually, because my friend Ashley's getting into wrestling, and so she hadn't watched a full WrestleMania before, so of course I showed her the best one ever and ruined all future WrestleManias that she might end up watching. And we ended up watching that, and yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, knowing pretty much... knowing everything, the outcome of the match and everything already, you know, you can kind of ignore worrying about, is the streak going to stay intact? You know, who's going to win this?
Mm-hmm.
And you can pay attention to the small things. And, you know, having knowledge about what happened afterwards and everything, it kind of helps give you an appreciation for it. Like, again, like, he was severely injured that entire time.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like going back and watching... I don't know why you would, but kind of going back and watching the main event from WrestleMania 27, knowing that Miz fully cracked his head on a cement floor, and he still did the post-match BS stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And you can more so tell with Miz than you could with Undertaker at WrestleMania 30, but you can really tell with Miz that he's not there.
Right.
And it's not something that I myself noticed first time watching live.
Right.
You know, but knowing it now, it's kind of impressive, even if that WrestleMania was garbage. But man, what a stage.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm really hoping Undertaker stays away from WrestleMania this year.
I'm really hoping
he sticks to retirement.
I think so.
Yeah. Like, rumors are still coming out that it's him and Cena. And honestly, I don't know what else Cena does.
Yeah, part of it is...
unless they can't get Rock and they just not do Kurt Angle and they have him team with Ronda, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Cena, I hate to say it, but
maybe,
I'm like,
honestly, maybe that's like their backup. If The Rock is able to come back and do the match with Ronda, then you have Kurt Angle and John Cena or something.
Maybe.
Because where else would you put them?
Well, the problem you have with Cena is, so this is the point in The Rock's career where he was gone.
Yeah.
Like, Rock, I don't remember, 2003, I think, left.
I'll believe you. I'm bad with dates.
He left, Goldberg beat him.
Yeah.
And he left, I think, to go film The Rundown.
Good movie.
and never came back.
Yeah.
Until when he did. But so
2012. No, 2011.
11, I think.
For the hosting of the
Yeah. But so you have stuff like you know, Mummy Returns, where you have The Rock, you know, was gone to film the movie, came back, and is wrestling again. But he once he was filming a movie, once he had a movie coming out each year, or a couple movies coming out each year, he was Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
He was gone from the ring.
Yeah.
And he never, like, Goldberg beat him, and you can go find his, like, final thing, where he kind of gives this half-hearted farewell, but it's very much like, I gotta go away for a little bit, and I'll be back, and I'll be better than ever. Because, of course, he's going to say that. Like, he's not being like, all right, bye, Hollywood's a-calling, and they got money.
Well, yeah.
But he, so, but The Rock left fairly early into his movie career.
Right.
Like, he left wrestling pretty quickly to pursue acting full-time, because that was, and that was, you know.
Before the bad Disney movies and everything.
Well, I mean, first of all, the bad Disney movies started with The Game Plan, which was, like, 2004. Like, you're thinking of The Tooth Fairy in 2009, but, like, Game Plan came out pretty quickly. He was still credited as The Rock.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so, but that's the thing is, like, really quickly, he had The Rundown, Walking Tall, and then I think The Game Plan.
Yeah. I think Gridiron Gang not too long after that.
Gridiron Gang was 06.
Right.
He had like a really small part in Be Cool in 2003.
He did. That was a fun movie.
Yeah. And so, and like, and about, that's about the time, I think, if I remember, and this is a weird trivia fact to have,
okay,
I think that The Game Plan, where, you know, he had his daughter taught the team the fun of playing football, the Disney movie, was the last time he was credited as The Rock in a movie.
Okay.
He was Dwayne The Rock Johnson there, and after that, thrown out, he was just Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
So, but saying that, like, Cena is cranking out movies pretty effectively now.
Yeah, I mean, is he, as far as like major big budget movies, is he like leading any of these, or is I think the only one might be, at least the one coming up, is the Bumblebee.
He's the male lead, the human lead, I guess, in the Bumblebee movie.
You can't credit a car as a lead.
So he's the Mark Wahlberg for that this new Bumblebee spinoff series. But he's in Blockers, which is coming out. John Cena.
They
prevent their daughters from having sex.
That seems more like an ensemble thing, but.
But it's
I understand what you're saying.
It's not. We've moved past.
Definitely, it's a bigger role than he had been getting previously.
Right. So he was in Daddy's Home.
Yeah.
And the entire joke was, oh, hey, it's John Cena, and he's in a movie.
Yeah.
And then he was in Daddy's Home 2, and he had a role.
Right.
And it was kind of this, like, thing where coincidentally, like, oh, John Cena's a real thing now. We should put John Cena in this movie more.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, this doesn't really work. Weird job, Daddy's Home 2.
Yeah. It was kind of, because between Daddy's Home 1 and 2, he had been in, like, other small roles, but he kind of was able to show off his chops a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So it made sense they wanted to give him a bigger role. But, yeah, no, his acting career is definitely on the upswing.
Yes.
So.
Well, and he's a name. He's a, you know, that people throw around a lot for things.
Right.
When it's like, oh, such and such is coming up, then John Cena is a name for that.
Yeah.
I am assuming that the Bumblebee movie is being made with the option to trilogy.
Sure.
You know.
Because, yeah, we have to franchise everything.
And just things like Cable is going to be in the new Deadpool movie. That's like Deadpool's best friend psychic thing. And like John Cena's name was thrown around for that.
Right.
John Cena is on his way to getting a main action franchise
of his own.
Yeah.
If it's not Bumblebee, definitely something soon. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's cranking them out quickly. He was in, you know, he was in Ferdinand just recently.
Yeah.
And he was the star of Ferdinand. He played Ferdinand.
Right.
And yeah, it was a, you know, animated film.
It was a dud, but yeah.
It was all right.
Sure. But I mean, box office wise, it didn't really do great.
Well, it did really well.
Actually, it did?
I mean, comparatively. So it came out, like, if you, okay, to delve into box office analytics. And Alex and Alan analysis. Jeez.
Wow. You need a nap.
Ferdinand came out the same weekend as Star Wars: The Force, Star Wars: Last Jedi.
Yeah, and so they knew what that movie was.
Yeah, and so it was made to be complete alternative program to it. Basically, I think Alvin and the Chipmunks 4 is what came out to Force Awakens.
Why would you know this?
It did comparable box office to that. That's kind of what they aimed for.
All right, so he's got that to hang his hat on.
But, well, it's also for, you know, he is the star of an Oscar-nominated movie because Ferdinand was nominated for Best Original, Best Animated Movie. So
they're not going to win, but...
No, I mean, Coco's going to win.
Yeah, Coco's winning everything. So...
My point is...
Right. What does this have to do with John Cena at WrestleMania to bring this all back?
At this point in The Rock's movie career, mm-hmm. The Rock was gone. The Rock was an actor.
Yes.
And John Cena is coming back to wrestling a lot.
Yeah.
Now, I think some of that is, I don't know, I guess John Cena likes wrestling more. Maybe, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It feels, and it's felt a long time that John Cena has had an eye for the business of entertainment and knew that, okay, moving into acting is the right step.
Yeah.
There was an interview, and this is going way back. Do you remember the movie Legendary? John Cena played like a professional, like a wrestler, like a collegiate, you know, Greco-Roman style wrestler. Danny Glover was in it. It was a WWE Films kind of movie.
Yes.
When
you first said that the name, I was thinking the one where he's in that weird trench coat in like the cover, and it just looked weird on him. But that was a different movie. But go on. Legendary. Wrestling. Yes.
So, they're, you know, they obviously do all of the, like, interviews and stuff that they play during WWE television to get you to go buy this direct-to-DVD
sure.
movie.
Yeah.
And so, they have these quick interviews with Danny Glover basically praising John Cena's work ethic as an actor.
Yeah.
Is kind of what they're meant to be.
I remember that, yeah.
But the way Danny Glover is talking about this, you're like, oh, John Cena was learning to act on this movie. Like,
right.
John Cena was, like, taking lessons, taking notes, working with Danny Glover, mm-hmm. which is, like, you know, a seasoned veteran actor.
Yeah.
To be like, all right, what do I, you know, do? John Cena had this transition to movies in his mind for a long
right.
time.
Yeah.
He was doing the work, putting in the hours, planting the seeds to be able to launch into this career, you know, as his wrestling had to slow down just for age and health and, you know, times are a changing reasons.
Yeah.
And so he's doing that and, you know, good for him. And that's, you know,
sure.
That's the smartest thing you can do.
Yeah.
Your other option is to start working backstage Triple H style, and
yeah.
there's not enough room for everybody to do that.
I remember those promos for Legendary once you were talking about it, and it felt very much, to me, it felt a little condescending, almost like they're patting John Cena on the head. It's like, you did a good job there, buddy.
No.
Like, it felt the same way when I was in fifth grade. And anytime my mom came to pick me up or something and happened to run into my teacher, every single time, they would, like, small you know, chit-chat here and there and blah, 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 blah. Oh, your son is doing so great. Like really, like, kind of patting me on the head, like, as I'm standing there. I'm like, this is weird. So it kind of felt that same way. It felt like Mr. Westerland just, like, you know, pat, 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 good job.
Mm-hmm.
See, everyone, we're telling you that he did a good job, so come watch this movie, pat, pat, pat.
Well, and part of it was like, you know what? He was fine in 12 rounds in the Marine. Like,
right?
Nobody's winning any Oscars, but, like, he didn't deliver his lines dead to camera.
So they were trying to basically say, like, he's gotten better since then.
He was fine. I mean, no, he's fine. He plays John Cena and everything.
Sure,
like,
sure.
There's nothing where I'm like, all right.
They're just trying to show some sort of progression. And desired for you to pay money to go see their movie.
I was like, so I'm not expecting John Cena's, you know, West End performance of Hamlet anytime soon.
How weird would it be if one day John Cena got an Oscar? Like, for acting.
Okay, like... How is that? That is on The Rock's bucket list.
Has to be.
Like, it has to be.
I still love his reaction to last year's Oscars because he was sitting towards the front whenever they messed up the card at the end. And they got that photo of everyone out front and everyone just like, you know, mouth agape and just shocked and everything. And Rock's just like, something. Mm-hmm. He looks like he looked like he suddenly smelled what he was cooking. Just like, I'm not sure I like this. You know?
No, he. It's The Rock. He had the look like somebody's music interrupted his promo.
He had the look as if he was holding up his cousin's arm and suddenly they were booing him. It was this weird noise he hadn't heard aimed towards his direction since 1999. But yeah, you know, it's got to be on his bucket list. Like, he's going to. It's not going to happen with Rampage, but it has to be on his bucket list.
Like, yeah.
He's got to find the right.
He is stockpiling blockbusters right now.
Right.
He wants like four franchises at Fast and the Furious level that he is going through. So he can have these and they'll just generate, you know, that money pile for forever. Because he'll have to move into his, like, you know, I'm an old grizzled guy, but I still got it kind of Bruce Willis, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Era of his life, of his acting career.
Yeah, he just has to find the right role for him. Because honestly, like, I can't think of, like, the last time he did a, like, serious-ish movie that was an action thing or whatever. Because I remember him in Gridiron Gang, and that was, like, 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird to say. You know, I remember watching that, and he, like, his character just seemed like it was, like, the purpose of his character in that movie was just the buzzkill. Mm-hmm. Like, he was just the serious coach and everything. Like, he's trying to teach these kids to do better because they're all in, you know, juvie or whatever. And there was, like, this young kid. I think he was, like, their water boy or something. And he just was so full of energy. And he always had the players laughing and everything. And I think his assistant coach, played by Exhibit. I don't know why I remember that. But he's like, man, that kid is just such a joy to have around. And he's like, yeah, I wonder if he was laughing whenever he was robbing some old chick or old lady and, you know, like, killed her or something like that. I'm like, really? Now's not the time. Everyone's being happy right now. There's plenty of sad, depressing stuff in this movie.
It's
so I'm hoping his dramatic side has, you know, because clearly he's got comedy and action down pat.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like drama, I'm hoping he's progressed since then.
He'll work on it.
Sure.
He's got time.
Can you tell we are scraping the bottom of wrestling right now?
My point is, to get to my point that I've been trying to get to, without all your Exhibit sidetracks.
Exhibit and Mr. Westerland stories.
Is that because John Cena is still there.
Yeah.
And they're going to use John Cena because he's still John Cena. He's still...
And I'm assuming he's made his calendar available for WrestleMania.
Yeah. He's still a major face of the company. He's still a legend in the company.
Sure.
But there's nothing... They can't do anything with him.
Yeah.
There's no real use for long-term booking. Mm-hmm. There will never be another calendar year where John Cena... hits. And you remember there was one year where John Cena was at. It was like during his fight with the Nexus.
Mm-hmm.
And John Cena had to be out for like an ankle injury.
Yeah.
And we were like, this will be the first time we counted it up. This will be the first week
in
3, 4, 5 years that John Cena will not be on TV. And then he was like live via satellite. We're like, John Cena's still on TV.
Yeah.
Like, there's still a John Cena segment.
Yeah.
And then he was back the next week. Mm. And then I think on TV in some capacity until Brian SummerSlam having to go get his elbow looked at.
I think what you're thinking of was his quick feud with Tenzai. Because it happened while we were...
No, because he appeared It was the episode we went to.
Yeah, he appeared live via satellite, but he came. He was there.
Yeah,
because they advertised for him, so he was there for the dark.
He had a dark match with Kane.
That's what you're thinking about. Yeah.
No, I'm thinking because he definitely did it with Wade Barrett.
Oh, okay.
But
it was around that same kind of thing.
Yeah, it was the kind of thing where we were talking about, like, okay, does live via satellite, you know, count or not? And we were like, yes, they're still taking time out of the episode to dedicate to John Cena. Because they did that every week for years and years and years. And they'll never do that again. There will never be a calendar year where January to December, John Cena will be there every week. He's going to be taking off chunks of the calendar.
Even if, you know, his movie career doesn't really, you know, take off or whatever, or if it stalls, or, you know, he still has the show. I'm guessing he's still doing True Grit. Mm-hmm. Was it True Grit?
It's not True Grit.
American Grit. Something
like that.
Something grit. Something with grits. Breakfast Time with John Cena. But he takes a lot of time with the show. So assuming that show is going to continue, so, you know, well, he'll at least be taking time off for that. And other opportunities, obviously, that might rise.
His next long thing will be, I think, when he breaks Ric Flair's record.
Yeah.
He'll have the title for a while. I don't think he's going to break it and then, like, lose the title next month so he can go back to do something. I think there will be a good stretch of time where he keeps
maybe out. Maybe they're going to hold off on that.
And it's likely that he will win the title, like, at a Royal Rumble or something, and then lose it at WrestleMania.
Sure,
and like passing the flag, kind of
like
thing.
A quick kind of
probably to Roman Reigns.
Does he need any more torches? I've got to the point where I've accepted most things about them and Roman Reigns, but they give him everything.
Yeah,
like does he need that many notches under his dumb belt?
The answer is yes. The answer is yes because you won't cheer for him yet, so he needs something else,
more achievements. More things for him to conquer, more undefeated streaks for him to, you know, take care of, and retirements like Undertaker, and he doesn't need all the things.
If you would just...
I'm kind of impressed that they've gone, a year and a half and never put the Universal Championship on him?
Yeah.
Like, how did they just stop themselves from that?
If you would have just cheered for him at WrestleMania 31,
they would have given him everything at
like
once.
A good little boy.
Yeah.
Then we wouldn't have had to deal with him getting everything else.
Has he won a Money in the Bank yet? That's like the one thing he hasn't won yet.
No, because he shot to the moon too quick, too fast.
Yeah. So he doesn't.
So we're going to have to wait for another. Once they have another like Money in the Bank All-Star kind of thing, because that's how John Cena eventually won a Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Was they did a weird
usually
like
he was
all
in the main
stars.
Event. Yeah.
The other thing that I actually do want to mention before we have fully scraped this barrel bottom.
It's been a nice nostalgia show. Remember Lord Tenzak?
Nostalgia is things you look back on fondly.
What's the opposite? Things you look back with disdain. Nightmares?
Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Still.
Hasn't shown up.
Okay, but like, not a mention of her. Like,
how true is that? I mean, well, yeah, like they talked about it a lot last week.
Mm-hmm. They talked about the fact, like, oh, she's here. And you're like, no, she's not.
Right, but this last Raw, nothing.
Well, and we have had, she came out, and she pointed at the sign. And it was like, and there were two champions and a number one contender.
Yep.
In that ring. And then she came out and you're like, here's the four.
Mm-hmm.
And so now she's going to be facing Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, she was going to be facing none of them.
Yeah.
None of those three.
According to all rumors, she's going to be facing Stephanie McMahon. Which, feelings about that.
Well, I mean, it was something that they had alluded to back in WrestleMania 31.
I don't care.
Sure, right. Like, it still doesn't make it a match that you want to see.
It's not keeping me up at night that there's loose threads from the let's stall for time so the sun can go down enough for an Undertaker entrance feud. Like, I'm not like, oh, this is some unresolved issues between Ronda Rousey from the crowd and Stephanie McMahon.
Right.
So, Ronda Rousey, and I understand that I am making these complaints and making these bold declarative statements.
Yeah, you're really getting fired up about this.
With no actual proof of Ronda's skill or lack of skill in the ring.
Sure.
We have no indication about what kind of wrestler she is.
Mm-hmm.
But her first match as a wrestler, when we have no reason to know how good of a wrestler is, what kind of a wrestler she is, mm-hmm. Is going to be against somebody else who is not a wrestler.
Yes.
Who has enough training to, like, take a safety bump.
Yeah.
But is not pulling out any match of the years.
Okay. All right. So, here's the thing. To steal your famous line. The thing is here. We don't know Ronda's skill in a professional wrestling environment yet. But at the same time, do you really want to have her in a championship match?
No, I don't want her in a championship match.
Right. Because, like, honestly, at WrestleMania, when it's a women's match, that's your option.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're like, we want to believe that the women's wrestling has gotten to the point where they would just put a feud in WrestleMania featuring two women that have nothing to do with a championship or anything, but that's not going to happen. So, they're...
Okay.
You get three part-timers and Ronda Rousey all in one match.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to spread them out anymore. You don't have to, like, have a Triple H match and Rock or whatever. You don't have it compiled in this one little match. Just take care of it. They're going to get their publicity, and Stephanie McMahon's star power is going to shoot through the moon like they want.
And that's...
Because that's the rumor going on now.
That's not cool.
Yeah, that's the rumor going out now, that this is all being done to make Stephanie, like, a household name like Vince was. Which, that wasn't the point of Vince McMahon back then.
Yeah.
It was just them trying to put together a good TV show.
Okay.
They didn't care about your star profile.
As always, we've said it a thousand times, but just to really drive the point
home, I've been waving my arms maniacally, and I think I'm accidentally tearing things down.
Just to drive the point home, you can't do that if you can't decide what Stephanie McMahon the character is.
Right.
Is good she guy, bad guy, philanthroper,
right.
Mean lady, like...
What? Philanthropist, not philanthroper.
Or, I don't know. She could be.
She's a philanthropist about cats. A philanthroper.
Philanthropathizer.
But yeah, we don't know. Yeah, you're right. They can't decide from week to week, you know, okay.
They can't decide from segment to segment.
No.
She'll come out, she'll be mean and slap a dude, and then she'll come out three segments later and say,
There's a women's Royal Rumble.
Yes.
That's all yes. Mm-hmm. Remember that time that I you know, just kept Daniel Bryan underneath my boot? Yeah, that's all yes right now. Yeah.
So that's stupid.
Yes.
That's a stupid use of Ronda Rousey.
Yes.
But you talk about, like, it's WrestleMania, it has to be a, you know, a championship match, and it doesn't. Right now, we talk about, like, no one person is bigger than the WWE, and, you know, that kind of thing. And so, are you at, like, oh, should, there's a handful of matches, like, okay, Undertaker's retirement should go on last.
Yeah.
I understand that. That is okay for that to go on after the championship match. Same thing with, like, the Shawn Michaels thing.
Unless you're John Cena and John Laurinaitis, but continue.
Okay. And that is a stupid example where it's bad that went on.
Yeah.
But Ronda Rousey goes on last. Ronda Rousey, as far as the women's side of everything goes, Ronda Rousey is bigger than either championship. Ronda Rousey is bigger than the WWE. Ronda Rousey is the biggest star in the WWE. Having never done anything other than walk in and point at a sign,
mm-hmm.
Ronda Rousey was, I think, either the first or second most Google searched female athlete of 2017.
Yeah.
A year where she had no fights.
Zero fights.
And, like, an interview on Ellen, like, one.
Yeah, not even in a movie or anything.
Yeah.
2017.
Yeah. So,
like, Ronda, and again, like, if anyone doubts that, just go back and look at all the heads that turned, you know, when she showed up at Royal Rumble. Like, you know, WWE likes to tout, like, all their media coverage for everything that they do, but this is the one time where they didn't really have to fluff that up.
No, Ronda, like, Rousey has certified star power beyond anything else in the WWE, other than The Rock. Like,
yeah.
The only other comparable thing is when The Rock genuinely returned for the first time, and they were like, The Rock is going to do something in WWE.
Yeah. But the a mixed tag match with, you know, Hunter, Stephanie, Ronda, and Rock, like, again, like, star power and everything, Ronda should finish out the show, just on star power alone.
Mm-hmm.
But do you really think they're going to have, like, a mixed tag like that? Like, that kind of situation that's kind of meh?
I honestly don't know.
Well, I mean...
I mean, if they have that, and Ronda will make the pin.
Sure.
Because she'll pin Stephanie, because Stephanie will eat the pin.
Yes.
And part of it is, like, is this why you're promoting this mixed tag match on Facebook right now? Is because you want us to, like, really grasp the concept of a mixed tag match... You want that to be like...
I don't necessarily think it really has a whole lot to do with the other, to be honest with you. Like, I think like that's really just them exploring this Facebook watch option thing. And, you know, if they really cared, I mean, Vince would have his fingerprints all over it. But what we, from what I understand, what's his name? The dude that used to run creative for NXT or write everything for NXT. It's pretty much his show.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a two birds, one stone
kind of thing. Probably. But I don't think it's directly, like, one-to-one like that.
It's just, this is a silly use of Ronda Rousey.
I agree. But to be honest with you, no matter what Ronda's match is going to be, even if it was a championship match or, you know, Four Horsemen of WWE versus the Four Horsemen of MMA, whatever,
mm-hmm.
Even if any of that was the case, she's not ending the show. You know why? Because WWE can't freaking help themselves when it comes to Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. Yeah, we're back on that.
That's going to end the show. That's absolutely
100%. Roman Reigns, Brock doesn't matter what Ronda's going to do. WWE just can't help themselves when it comes to Roman freaking Reigns.
No, I'm not. That wasn't even a part of the question.
Mm-hmm.
My issue is Ronda Rousey does not exist on WWE TV anymore.
No.
Maybe
they're saving it for the WrestleMania media blitz, like after the other pay per views are done.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
but I feel like this is an unaddressed thing. There's the thing is like, oh, Triple H is the Poochie of wrestling, where it felt like Triple H was in every segment,
yeah.
And the segments he wasn't in was people talking, standing around, and being like, "Hey, where's Triple H?"
Yeah,
that's how Ronda should be. Like, we should all be like, "Oh, where's Ronda? Is Ronda going to be here tonight?
Right.
Like, what does Ronda want? She came, she pointed at a sign. Do you think she's going for a title match?
She told
because
ESPN
another title.
Yeah, she told ESPN she's full time.
Where is she? And okay, so obviously Asuka gets a title shot, but there's another title shot sitting out there, and so obviously that's what she should be going for, because in all reasonable kayfabe reasons, that's what she should be going for.
She faced off against the other two champions at Royal Rumble, so why wouldn't she? Yeah.
So every episode, so twice a week, Raw and SmackDown, it becomes more and more ludicrous that they are not acknowledging that Ronda Rousey came in and threw down the gauntlet to the women's division.
Yeah.
And every week that they wait, it becomes more ludicrous that she hasn't come out again.
Yeah.
Your eventual ending where she faces Stephanie becomes more ludicrous.
Yeah.
Like, it was going to be ludicrous anyway, just in kayfabe terms,
mm-hmm.
but it gets more and more ridiculous and nonsensical the longer you wait.
Thank you for stop saying ludicrous. You said it a lot.
Said it three times.
Yes, you did.
Because it was thrice ludicrous.
Where's Chris Bridges? He said his name three times. Yeah, I mean, I can't. What do you want from me? You want me to argue against it?
I do. I would like you to take the position of this is going to be the best WrestleMania forever.
Well, no, because I live in a world where WrestleMania 30 happened, and in my eyes, nothing will take that place. Maybe if they surprise us and get Daniel Bryan on WrestleMania 34, maybe.
No. Okay. First of all, it still won't be because Daniel Bryan would need to close out the show.
Yeah.
And that won't happen.
And he won't. No.
Yeah. And that's part of like the true tragedy of this whole Daniel Bryan saga.
Yeah.
Is Daniel Bryan could go to New Japan. Daniel Bryan would be a monster success main event.
True.
He would be headlining all the shows.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with like Ring of Honor or wherever. Daniel Bryan would be the must-see star attraction.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan in WWE is going to have very safe, middle of the card feuds. Maybe if we're lucky beyond lucky, he might get an Intercontinental title shot.
Yeah.
Like, but Daniel Bryan will not main event anything in WWE ever again. And it pains me. And it's like, and at the end of the day, like, even if that's the case, it is smart for him to stay financially with WWE.
Yeah.
In the long run, he's got a job up for life of some kind there. He's got family to take care of. His wife works there. His wife's sister and his, you know, brother-in-law and father-in-law through that marriage all work for WWE.
Yeah, in very high positions.
Yeah. It is the right decision to do that. But Daniel Bryan does not get to be the American Dragon in WWE. Mm-hmm. And so part of me, like, a big part of me wants Daniel Bryan to wrestle again with WWE because that's the easy way to see it. That's how Daniel Bryan, the character, will see it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll wrestle. And I want to see Daniel Bryan wrestle again, very selfishly. But part of me is like, I want the New Japan Daniel Bryan. I want him to go, and I want him to be the, like, Bryan Vicious, Danielson American Dragon guy that he was.
Yeah, like, just vicious submission machine kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love that too. Quick note, just before we wrap things up, man, 205 Live has been really good.
It has been really good.
Apparently it's because it's Triple H's thing now.
Yes.
Vince McMahon pretty much handed it all over to Triple H, and apparently Triple H is getting more responsibilities as we get closer to XFL. I don't know if I believe that part.
So, God, who was that? Who reported that?
I don't. Maybe PWI.
I don't remember who reported it. I did read that. I assumed that that was going to eventually be the case.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Like, and part of it is like, until I get more confirmation that the XFL is something beyond Vince and his action figures in his, you know, dreamatorium.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which,
once we actually get, like, actual tangible evidence of XFL coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, and we should, in the coming months, there should start to be, like, some city announcements.
At least a broadcast deal or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, I would say within the next year, I'm going to assume
it's not going to happen.
I'm going to assume that it'll be pushed back.
Sure.
It'll
be the new version of WWE Network. Where it was supposed to happen in 2012 and didn't happen until 2014, and it was something completely different than what they originally wanted. Yeah.
No, the XFL will happen. If Vince's tombstone is an advertisement that says XFL coming soon, like, Vince will never say, like, we're not doing XFL again.
Right.
So this will happen. This will be a thing.
Well,
I just don't know what or how or when.
Yeah. So. Right. But anyway, 205 Live, this has been just a week of weird tangents.
It has.
205 Live has been really good. I'm really enjoying this tournament. Like, you know, it's very obvious that they're clearly, like, bringing back elements of the Cruiserweight Classic, you know.
So there's this weird line of Enzo being removed where you're like, okay, it's good since then.
Yeah.
And part of that's interesting because it was getting good before that. And I'll still, like, as retroactively gross as it makes me feel, I started watching it because of Enzo.
Sure.
I mean, that's why we, you know, like, okay, let's give this another chance. Let's really start.
Also, I will say this now, Rockstar Spud, his new name, Drake Maverick.
Yeah.
He's so enthusiastic about this.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, his, you know, talking segments in between matches or whatever, it's pretty good. Like, I've been enjoying it. Like, his excitement has kind of gotten me excited. And I'm like, I didn't know I was excited about this, but I guess I am. All right, cool.
Okay.
And I like the fact that every match, at least so far, up until, you know, up to, like, the rest of this tournament or whatever, is going to mean something because every match the last 2 weeks has been the first round of this tournament, and it's going to continue to do that.
Yeah.
I really like that, where it makes you feel like every match counts, and there's not going to be, like, some BS tag team match. Like, but I mean, we're still going to get those on Raw because you got to advertise,
mm-hmm.
you know, but every match is counting on 205 Live right now, and every match has been pretty fantastic in its own way the last four matches.
Yeah. Well, and it's a thing where I am excited for the show.
Yeah.
And a lot of the tune in and fade away kind of feeling of that show.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be the show that I would watch when everything else was done. Kind of. And it was usually, to be honest, mm-hmm. it was the thing to kind of like keep me awake while I waited for you to get over here and podcast.
Yeah.
But it would be guys. It would be like, oh, Austin Aries is part of this. I want to tune in and see that. Oh, Neville is doing something. And the latest one was, oh, Enzo is part of this. Let me tune in. And I was enjoying that. And
the
and
fact
part of
that you didn't include Hideo Itami in that makes me sad for him. But I understand. It's not your fault.
No. It's like, I was like, because you said that. I was like, oh, wait. And then I was like, unfortunately, I have to stand by that.
No,
like,
you're right. Yeah.
But recently, the past, I would say, 3 weeks,
yeah.
I've been excited for the show.
Yeah.
And with Hideo Itami, for example, like, there are other guys that I enjoy. Like, I like Cedric Alexander, I like Grand Metalik, I like, you know, all of these guys, but they weren't, no individual person is causing me to tune into the show.
Right.
There's no, and perhaps there should be. Like, I don't know if that's a long-standing formula for success. I do think a head star, not necessarily a head star, but like a collection of a top tier guys is critical. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
205 has a smaller roster.
Yeah.
You could argue like they all need to be top guys. Like if you're a mid-carder on the 205 Live show, like that's you know.
Yeah.
That's several rungs down from.
Yeah. No, I'm interested in the tournament. I like that it's ending at WrestleMania. Hopefully it's actually on the show and not kickoff, but Vince is still running WrestleMania, so we'll see.
I'm not holding my breath for that one.
No, I'm not. But I'm very interested in what 205 Live is going to look like once this tournament is over.
Yeah.
So once you don't have that tournament gimmick anymore, your entire show is going to have to focus on something. Mm-hmm. Or it's going to have to change or something like that. So that's what I'm interested in seeing, if they actually make something interesting with it or if they're going to revert back to what 205 Live was before the tournament.
That's a good question and one I don't have an answer to.
No, absolutely. Because
you're right. I could easily see it going either way.
Yeah. Hopefully now that it's apparently being run by Triple H, then we'll get a little bit, you know, more of like an NXT type feel to it.
Yeah. But this tournament does, you're talking about it harkening back to the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. It does feel a little bit like a soft reboot of the whole show.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like 205 Live still would greatly benefit from being in a smaller venue.
Oh, yeah.
Like, maybe back in Full Sail or something like mm-hmm. that. Even if you have to tape it, I'm sorry that you just call it 205 Live. Or 205. You just call it 205. Just take the live out. Who cares? Or you just leave it in. I'm not going to tell. You know, I'm not going to tell anyone.
Yeah, you're right. I don't care.
It airs live, quote-unquote, on the WWE Network, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Especially now that the people who are sitting in the audience have sat through an entire episode of SmackDown, this mixed match challenge thing. And now, an hour of wrestling, like non-stop, like action-packed wrestling, because these guys are going for it with this tournament. So, yeah, it really would benefit on a smaller venue if they decided to just go ahead and do, just Full Sail or whatever, do some tapings. It would benefit a lot from it.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
No, I think you're right. So, all
right. I like it when you admit that I'm right. I just want that. I just want to note that you said.
You know what? In actuality, you're stupid for saying that.
I know you don't mean that. Hang on to your original truth.
It needs to not be where it is.
Yeah,
and that's really the biggest thing. Is like, Full Sail would be fine. But the biggest
thing, you don't want to tape it before the show because you don't want to risk. Because you're also going to risk being in a half empty stadium mm-hmm. anyway.
Yeah. But there's the whole putting everything after SmackDown.
Yeah.
Just feels like a dumping ground.
Right.
Whether you mean for it to or not, dropping everything at post SmackDown feels like this weird dumping ground.
Yeah.
And so if you did it on another day of the week, if you, I don't know. And I get like, oh, all your cameras set up, your everything's set up, right, ready to go there. So you just want to tape it after that. But I was like, you do it before Raw, you know, yeah, do it, you know, when they used to tape Superstars.
Yeah.
Do it. I don't know. Do it after Raw. Like, mm-hmm, you, just, I know that people have sat there for longer and they're ready to go home because it's 11 o'clock, but mm-hmm, I don't know. And yeah, the obvious thing is,
I mean, honestly, you can tape like one match before Raw and then one match before SmackDown,
mm-hmm,
you know? And again, like, it doesn't have to be live. Like, they kind of handcuffed themselves to this live thing, and you, yeah, don't have to do that.
Well,
and I think, and that's, that handcuffing has, you know, gone to the detriment of the show up until this tournament thing.
Well, and I think you're right. I mean, the Cruiserweight Classic wasn't live, and that was...
No, and it was fantastic.
Still arguably the best thing to come out of 205 Live.
Like, you know,
before
me,
205 Live
anytime
existed.
They tape something at Fools or whatever, I go out and I just read through spoilers. I was actively avoiding spoilers for Cruiserweight because it was that good.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
All right. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays, Tuesdays, appropriate Sundays, whenever it works.
Yep. And if you are, if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or you can write a review. That kind of interaction really helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on. Yep. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.